If anyone can hear this, we found them. We'd been lost, wandering for days. It seemed like the whole world had disappeared. And then we met a man, and he told us that they had all gone. All gone to AwesomeCon.
Everyone's at AwesomeCon. The district's comic and pop culture convention is back. William Shatner, George Takei, WWE World Champion Seth Rollins, and more. May 29th through 31st at the Washington Convention Center. Buy tickets now at AwesomeCon.com.
Yes. Oh, that song is so great. I don't even know what the name of that song is. What's the song called? Oh, Child. Oh, Child. Oh, Child, baby. What's going on? My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you guys are listening to Carolyn and Josh! Yo.
Hey,
everybody. Hope you're doing all right. Sitting here, chilling some tunes, having a good time. How's it going, Carolyn?
Oh, yeah. I'm chilling. This is a soothing song.
Just chilling.
I've had this song in my head all day.
Have you? I had it in my song all day too.
Probably because of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is it just because of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Probably. I mean,
I've never even heard of this song before.
I have heard of this song before.
Let's ask our special guest, RC. Have you heard of this song before Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, I've heard of the song.
Really?
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's a pretty popular
song.
It's a hit.
Yeah,
it's a top.
Hit.
It's a top 20.
Top of the pops.
Top 20 hit.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I've heard so many songs straight up from listening to soundtracks. Like it's crazy because when people ask me like, "Oh, Joe, how does Mr. Bandit sound? Like, where do you get the inspiration for the music?" And I was like, "Well, really, I was listening to the Django soundtrack, and I was listening to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" I was like, "That's where like my inspirations lied." Does that sound weird?
That doesn't sound weird at all.
Is that okay? Is that okay story for people?
I think so.
How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man.
I'm happy that you're like, let's get... Oh, I need to push something. I need to push something. And you know what? Who loves pushing things than us on this show?
We're big pushers.
We are the pushers here. We are the massive pushers. Carolyn.
Yes.
RC.
What's up?
Yes.
So what are you pushing, sir?
I'm pushing a few things, I guess.
Pushing a few things?
Yeah.
I'm excited because I took part in this.
You did. You did an awesome job too, man. It was
an awesome con job.
Top shelf.
Top shelf job. I like that, man.
Stuff's on the top shelf, you know.
I like your wardrobe. You always have like you have statements on your like whenever you wear stuff. I just have a red shirt with a.
I'm sure the listeners
an outlaw
can see.
What are you wearing today?
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing jeans.
But not blue jeans. Well, they're like light blue.
They're blue jeans.
Blue jeans.
Denim. You wearing denim?
I always liked it when Britney Spears was like, they're like, "Oh, we love your denim look." And she was like, "Denim?" Like, she didn't know what denim was.
Well, hold that thought, RC. You know what time it is. It's time to kick into the news.
Yeah. It's time for the Carolyn's News segment. And today we are joined in studio with special guest Arcia Rosagar, who has launched a Kickstarter. And we will discuss that later in the show. But just wanted to put that out there. Also,
just want to put that out there. Warm them up a little bit.
Yeah, let's get warmed up. Also, AwesomeCon is May 29th through 31st at the DC Convention Center. And all three of us will be there. It's going to be really exciting. Curl Studio is going to be at tables H12 and H13. So please come on by and check us out.
It sounded like you said age 12 to 13.
Oh, sorry. H as in... Herbert.
As in hooligans.
Hooligans or Harris.
Or
Hamster.
Hernandez.
So many H's going on there. H 12 to 13. We will be there. And also I have posted a map where you can find us. If you go to curls-studio.com, you'll be able to see the latest blog post that has the AwesomeCon map and our full schedule. We're basically located in the center of the main, I guess, I don't know if they're calling it Artist Alley anymore, but that main section of artists, we are pretty much in the center. So look for us in row H and tables 12 and 13. And in addition to that, we are on several panels. We are on actually 8 panels, which is ridiculous.
We're on 8 panels? Really?
It's ridiculous.
I thought it was 7.
I actually
was wrong.
Well, yeah, because we missed one in the listing, and I'm going to have to update that.
Well, I'm going to be missing one too.
But just to give you a quick rundown of all of our awesome con schedule, we have so many things. I will be on a panel called How to Use Social Media to Promote Your Work, and that's on Friday from 2:30 to 3:30, and that's going to be hosted by Liz Reed of Cuddles and Rage. And there's a whole bunch of people on that panel, including Nick from MagFest and Steve from Third Eye Comics, and also Rick from Extra Life. And our very own podcast, this one that you're listening to right now, the Carolyn and Joe Show, will do a live podcast with a special guest. We can announce it now.
Yes,
Joe, would you like to officially say?
I'd like to officially announce, the rumors are true, we have a Buffy the Vampire Slayer actress on the podcast, which is straight up just a panel with us as like sort of like a talk show, but live in front of people, and they can interact and talk with us. But that guest played Tara on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Her name is Amber Benson, who is amazing. One of the first strong females out of the gate. She is quite amazing. And, you know, to have a person that's such attached to such a great show that I loved.
Yeah, that's
that I still love
actually,
right now.
I think like
a Joss Whedon connection in there. That's mind blowing.
That was like your number one show growing up, and even it still impacts you today. So
such an inspirational thing, and to have Amber want to be on the show, that blows my mind.
Yeah, so join us for that live broadcast, and also we'll probably be able to take audience questions.
Do we interact? We'll interact with anybody. Well,
totally. So that's Friday, May 29th from 4 to 5 p.m.
So no one should be afraid that this is just going to be a show where they listen to us talk. Interact. You know what I mean?
Yes, it will totally be, just as all of our other previous shows that we've done for Awesome Con and other conventions will be. So that's going to be cool. It's a live podcast with Amber Benson. And also, in addition to Buffy, she also writes and directs her own stuff, which I think is really cool.
She's done comics, she's directed movies, she's produced movies, you know, written novels, mystery novels and stuff.
Very cool. That's awesome. She's like out there doing stuff. And then also, Joe will be moderating this really huge panel with WWE superstar Seth Rollins and Natalya. And that's Friday, May 29th from 6:30 to 7. That's only a half hour panel, so man, you gotta hit them up.
I'm scared. That's a lot. That's a hard 30. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a hard 30. And hanging out with the Diva Natalya and Seth Rollins, who is world heavyweight champion, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And then also on Friday, I will be doing Create Your Own Superhero Symbol. And that's from 7 to 8 p.m. in the Kids Zone. And just because it's in the Kids Zone, doesn't mean that adults can't do it. I did this panel at East Coast Comic Con, I guess a month or two ago, just recently. And we did have adults hanging out and doing that activity with their kids. It's really cool. So, I mean, it's just fun because every superhero needs a logo. And I will discuss how, you know, My Little Ponies have like their cutie marks, and Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, they all have like some type of marking. And that's really cool. And you can create your own visual identity in that panel. And then moving to Saturday, I'm sorry the news is taking so long. It's just that we have like a zillion panels. On Saturday, Joe will be on How to Survive the Summer Movie Season of 2015.
That should be interesting.
And that's in the morning from 10 to 11. Also, Joe will be on Awesome Filmmakers Making It Happen on Saturday, May 30th from 12:45 to 1:45.
Which should be even more amazing. First time filmmaker panel in Awesome Con.
And you are organizing that panel as well. So you got all of your associates together to get together to discuss filmmaking. And that's really exciting. And also on Saturday, it looks like I now will be solely on Pop Goes the Podcast, along with other podcasters, such as Michael O'Connell and Jellyvision. And that's from 4:30 to 5:30. And the reason why Joe is not going to be at that podcast is because there's a new announcement, because he just got told, actually today, that he will be moderating Would you like to say, or would you like me to say?
Yes, AwesomeCon has chosen me for my services of hosting and moderating skills to be the moderator for the Allison Mack panel. If you guys don't know who Allison Mack, you guys are wrong in your life. But Allison Mack played Chloe in Smallville and also is a character in Wilford.
Of Weird.
Yes, the Wall of Weird. Dude, Chloe Sullivan. Allison Mack, holy crap. That's a mind blower for me. I don't know, like, I don't even, when I read that today,
yeah.
I almost freaking, like, just fainted. I almost just got
That's
knocked
cool.
out. I was just like, how, because for some reason, I didn't even know this was going to happen. I thought, like, it was already handled. And then I saw, I'm happy I actually checked the scheduling from what my, you know, from what the panels are.
Yeah.
And for who's moderating. I was like, wait a minute, what? I'm on twice? Wait, Allison Mack?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So that's Saturday at 4:15 to 5:15. So that's pretty cool. I mean,
you know,
I know you're going to be missing Pop Goes the Podcast, the podcasting panel, but I feel like you're doing okay.
Well, it's what's really like crazy about that is, like, you know, when I was asked, like, so who would you like to have at Awesome Con, Joe? You know? And I was like, you know what would be nuts?
You did suggest
And
that.
I was like, what if this, I don't know if you know if you can do this, but do you think you can get Allison Mack at the show? And then, like, all of a sudden she gets announced, and then it was like, this one's for you, Joe. I was like, what the hell, man? That's amazing.
That is pretty cool. We did have a run-in with her. We saw her panel at New York Comic Con
about
4 years ago, was it?
Yeah, we did. It was one of the most high school moments of our, like, Comic Con panel life, dude.
Yes.
RC, it was literally like one of those moments where, like, you know, like in high school when you're trying to talk to the girl, you know what I mean? Except it was me and my friend Brian, because we loved her character, Chloe on Smallville. That's like one of the massive, like, inspirations for us. We named a character after her in one of our movies. And it took place after one of
her
panels.
We should say that Brian is your filmmaking
partner.
Brian
is one of my filmmaking partners.
So you both draw inspiration from Smallville.
Yeah. And literally, you know, we went to the panel. It was like, you know, like a web series panel. We didn't really care much for it, but we were there to check her out because that's the only time. And she sort of snuck in there as like a guest. And then when everyone else cleared out, she was still like alone talking to people like in the panel or like just the co-stars. And we were like at the doorway and, you know, she wasn't taking pictures with anyone. And she wasn't, you know, like just, she was like, no, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She wasn't, no business there.
She was
there.
Protected.
Yeah, she was protected. And so, but we're the last ones there. And we're like, dude, should we go back and like say hi to her, or talk to her? And then Carolyn's like, no, they're shushing people away. And then we're on our way out. And then Carolyn's like, well, this is your only chance. You might as well just go for it. And I'm like, I can't do it. It's so difficult. And then Brian's going to walk away. And then I stopped. I was like, fuck it. Let's go. Let's do it. And then like literally, it was like a raptor attack. Like,
you guys encircled her.
We went on the side.
Poor chick.
But it was like, so Brian went first, and like, he walked past her. Like, you know, like, if you're like trying to play it cool, you know, like, oh, whatever. And then as he walks past her, he goes like, I love what you do. Like, yells back, I love what you do. And then she turns on like, oh, thank you. And I was like, crap, he did it. So at that point,
he had the moment.
But then
It was like a walk by. I love what you do.
Yeah, I love what you do. Oh, thank you. I was like, crap, he did it. Well, I guess I'm in their line of sight. I'm in the line of walking distance now. So like, I just walked up right next to her or what in front of her. It's like, hey, Allison, I know you're not taking photos or anything, but I just want to shake your hand and say, it's awesome what you do. She's like, oh, thanks. Don't forget to watch the show. And then there's that moment.
You had your moment.
I had that moment.
Now you're going to have
an hour of this moment.
And also, you know, I want to say when Brian did that, it was funny because when you first told me that you, I guess, were tapped to moderate this Allison Mack panel, the first thing I told you was like, cool, I love what you do.
Yeah.
Because that's like our little phrase for Allison Mack. Thanks to Brian Sarvis for that one.
Yeah.
We love what you do, Brian. If you're listening. I know he does listen, so maybe he's listening. What is Brian Sarvis going to... Have you told him?
Oh, I already told him. He was the first one I told.
What was his
reaction? He was like, sweet dude, you should take pictures with her and then get to talk to her agent.
That's awesome. Yeah, she's awesome as Chloe. She's like, I think, one of the most dynamic characters in Smallville.
Chloe, like, to me, like, led into, like, oh, Veronica Mars, like, that type of character.
Definitely. I love it. Yes. That's so awesome. We have like so many great opportunities going on at AwesomeCon this year. It's actually crazy because I'm, you know, I feel like most of Friday I'm going to be doing a lot of panels, and then you're going to be out and about on Saturday as well. But I guess for Saturday, the only panel I have is that podcasting panel. But yeah, it feels like I'm hardly not going to be at the table on Friday. But maybe that's okay, because Fridays usually at conventions are a little lighter. People are still in work and stuff like that. So, yeah, like every convention except for, I guess, New York Comic Con, Fridays are a little bit chill. But Saturdays are cray, and then Sundays are sometimes a little lighter. But I at least on Sunday I will be at the table all day.
I believe we both will.
Because you don't have any on Sunday as well, so that's good.
I was pitching when I was talking to Ben from AwesomeCon earlier today. I just had a random idea, and I was just like, "Hey man, what if like next year I just have a panel where I literally would just set up a studio and I'll just photograph any cosplayer that comes in there. We'll call it Cosplay Screen Test."
I like that.
And just like they, because usually they take their photos like in the street or something like that. Uh-huh. I was like, why don't they just have a spot where I can just set up, you know, and I do awesome stuff, and I just, we'll do it for real, and you guys get that, and it's just like this cross promotion that can happen.
That would be cool.
You know, so there you go.
Definitely.
But RC, man.
What's up, man?
Are you ever annoyed when I still call you RC? I always think about that. I can't get it out of my head.
Nobody can pronounce my name the way it's really supposed to pronounce.
That's true.
Wait, can you
it's
pronounce?
Arcia. Arcia.
Oh, I can't do
no,
that.
No, you Americans can't do it.
But that's not how you introduce yourself American. With us. You are saying you're Arcia.
Yeah, I say Arcia, so because they can't pronounce Arcia. But I pronounce.
I've never
Arcia.
I've never heard of this fancy one now.
Yeah, Arcia. It's Arcia.
Wait. So
Arcia Ruzigar.
Oh, that's too heavy for me. Yeah, it's got I don't even want to try it on here.
Ethnic flair to it.
But I like calling you RC.
RC Rex.
Yeah, because of that.
I never used the Rex part, though. I don't even know where Rex came from.
No, but
where
like...
Where did it come from?
I remember you were, at one point, you were like, you can call me RC.
Yeah.
And then like we're like, okay, but then you're like, well, just call me RC.
When I do like takeout and like get something like to go, I say RC. Just give me RC.
That's what I feel like I'm always going to call you that. I hope you're not super offended.
I'm not offended.
Okay. Maybe it can... just be for us.
Just you two.
RC.
Exclusively for the Carolyn and Joe show.
For everyone else, it's Arcia. Yeah. So, you have launched your Kickstarter.
I have.
Yes.
It's on its way.
It's been like so much build-up, because I feel like I know that you've been working really hard on the Kickstarter.
I have been working. Not only working hard on the Kickstarter, but working hard on the book itself, too.
Yes.
You know, it's been years of research, years of hard work.
Well, tell me about this book, though. Tell me about, like, even the idea, because, I mean... Is this the first like big book that you've spearheaded?
As far as my own book, yeah. This is my first, my own baby that I've done as far as my own book goes, and as far back as I can remember, like other than the comic book I did when I self-published, but this is my own project that I've done. Everything else, I've been a hired gun for somebody else, but now it's my own baby.
I mean, what led to this? Like, what was it? Was it like you just had this thought in your head? You're like, man, it's about time that I have something, you know what I mean?
Well, I've been wanting to do this for a while now. I've been kind of... It's been an idea that's been bubbling in my head for a while. It started off as a comic book, but I thought, you know, let's make it a children's book and make it apply to a wide audience, I felt like. And you know, should probably talk about what it is specifically, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we eventually
will.
What
is your Kickstarter?
We need to know about the man.
And okay. The book.
We want to know about the man.
Well, it's called
The Man, the Myth,
the Legend of RC Rex. No, but that's a big thing, because like a lot of times, like when people are thinking about like, oh, I want to... One day I'll do something, or one day it's great, because like you're spearheading. You're like, you know what? I'm actually going to do this. You're not going to be one of those people that are just thinking about this ideas and never making it happen. You took those steps.
You got to walk the walk, man.
You got to walk
can't
the walk,
talk
man.
Walk. You got to walk it.
Yeah.
And you know, as you know, I do music, I do comics, I do cartooning, and I do lots of different things. But I decided, okay, I'm going to focus on this and get this done. And I put everything else kind of on the side. In the back burner a little bit and focused on getting this book done. It's called Shaun and Myth for Kids, and it's basically a children's book that's based on an ancient epic poem called the Shaun and Myth, which was written over 1,000 years ago. And I decided to take certain stories from this and gear it specifically towards a younger audience. And you know, it's about, you know, I like mythology, I like heroes, and I thought, you know, this would be a perfect opportunity and perfect platform to bring this together and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you thought of it as being a comic. What stopped you from making it into, like, a normal comic? Because is it to that level? Is it, if you were to make it a comic, would it not be a kid's book? Or would it...
Yeah, I think, well, there's a variety of reasons. There's I think, you know, I wanted not just some one-month shelf life. You know, comics have a one-month shelf life.
Yeah.
You know? But I wanted this to have kind of a permanent shelf life. So anybody can go access this at any time, as opposed to being in a comic shop for a month. this could be found anywhere, I feel like.
Yeah. See, like, it's different because also at the same time, I feel like when it comes to writing something, because you're taking the story, you're like,
now keep in mind, this is still sequential art by my definition. Yeah. I'm telling a visual story using art in a sequential manner. So you could still kind of consider it comics in a way, but it's not your traditional comic book like a floppy is necessarily, but still sequential art as far as I'm concerned.
See, I'd always think that'd be such a challenge because like me as like a writer, I always have this thing of like, oh, how much can I cram into a page? But then you have that challenge of like, okay, I got to get this story.
Yeah.
And how's the spread?
Well, the Shahnameh is a big book.
Yeah.
You take the Iliad, you take the Odyssey, those two mythology, you double that, and that's basically what the Shahnameh is. It's a big book, and it's all in poetic, it's all poetry too. So it rhymes and it has a rhythm to it. It's really awesome. It's an amazing text.
So what grabbed you to this book? Like, what made you feel like this is what I want to create? Like, from what someone would grab from?
I love superheroes. I love adventure. I love mythology, and I also wanted to bring this out to a mainstream audience who aren't familiar with what true Iranian culture is, what true Iranian identity is, because we really don't get that in the mainstream media. We kind of get something else, but I wanted to bring this out there for not only for Iranians that are growing up outside their motherland, but for the rest of the world to see, okay, this is what Iranian mythology is. This is what the history is. This is what it kind of goes back to, not what you think it is necessarily.
So I remember because I helped you produce the Kickstarter video for that, and I saw the book. Yeah. Is that the actual? Is that the like?
That's one version of the book. The original book was written over 1,000 years ago by a man named Ferdowsi. Iranian culture goes back 7,000 years. It goes back 2,600 years to Cyrus the Great.
It's amazing,
and it goes back a long time. And we have our own history. We have our own language. We have our own culture. We have our own traditions. And at one point in time, we kind of got invaded, and by these invaders, they basically burned all our libraries down. They burned all our cultures down, and everything was pretty much put to dust. And we were forced to assimilate not only culturally, but our language itself was being wiped out to what the invaders had.
That's freaking nuts, man. That's like just a cleansing in a way.
Well, you know, that's what a lot of conquest does. A lot of conquerors do that. They kind of make sure they don't have what's behind you, and that way you kind of assimilate to what the conquerors are.
And then they can rewrite to whatever
they can rewrite it to what they want, which still goes on today.
Yeah.
But this one guy, this one man named Ferdowsi, made it his life ambition to make sure that didn't happen. And he went around and he got all this folklore and all these stories, and he basically takes it from the creation of the earth and takes it to the mythic period, to a historical period, and kind of, and up to the point where the conquerors came and made this huge text. And it was basically his life's work. And after that, lots of people did adaptations of it, and they had their own versions of it with little paintings, little miniature paintings. And there's lots of different versions of the Shahnameh, basically based on what this guy wrote. And I decided to take one of the stories, my personal favorite story, the story of Zalan Seymour, and I love this story. And I decided to make a children's book out of it because some of the books really actually violent and probably not suitable for
That's what I was wondering. It's like, how did you choose? Yeah, it's like, you've already read the whole thing, I'm assuming. Like,
no, I actually haven't read the whole thing. It's so big that I haven't read the whole thing.
But you read a section, and you're like, I think this would make
for it's one of the more famous stories, and it's a beautiful story. And it has wonderful morals, and it has wonderful metaphors.
Can we tell people about the story now, or do you want them to find out?
Well, I'm not going
to
give the entire story away, but I can tell you the basic premise of the story.
Yeah, like the pitch of the story.
Basically, there was a noble named Saum, and everybody loved this guy. He was friends with the Shah. He was friends with the king. And the entire kingdom loved him. He was like a noble, basically.
Yeah.
And one thing he didn't have in his life was a child. And then he finds out one day that his wife is pregnant, and he's going to be a father, and he's stoked and he's happy. It's everything he's wanted now. The day comes that his son's born, and he comes to see the child, and he notices that it has skin and hair white as snow. And so he thinks it's like he's cursed. He thinks like, okay, this is some sort of curse that I have. This child's a freak, you know?
Is this child albino?
Albino, pre-albino, you know? This is like a mythic period. This is like a long time ago. So this is basically, you could say, he was albino. But at the time, they thought he was a freak kid.
Mm-hmm.
So he was concerned with what people thought, and for the first time, he did something that wasn't morally correct, and he basically takes the child and he abandons him at the foot of a mountain. And as he leaves the child there, but the child fortunately is found by this mythical, mystical creature named Simorgh. It's like this giant bird. And this is it's a wonderful motif in Iranian culture is the Simorgh. And you see the visual of this bird all over the place in Iran. And this bird comes and rescues the child, and she raises him. And I'm not going to give the rest of the a lot of people know this story, but
yeah.
Support the Kickstarter if you want to find out what happens.
If you want to find out what
the bird is like gorgeous. It actually reminds me of, you know, in Up, they have that other bird named Kevin.
Yeah.
That's what it kind
of
reminds
me. Now, what's cool
of.
About the Simorgh, lots of different artists have had different visual interpretations of the mm-hmm. bird. Like,
so there's not one set thing.
There's not one set thing. And actually, the way Ferdowsi describes the bird in the original poems are kind of different than what I kind of did. But over the years, like all the different artists who have drawn the Simorgh
yeah.
have made this really cool, their own little personal renditions. And I kind of took all these different renditions of the different artists have done over the centuries and kind of made this amalgamated kind of version of the bird, which you see in my children's book. So, yeah.
Cool.
So, like, how many pages? Did you already have it?
It's going to be, I haven't decided. It's going to be about 28 pages, I think.
That's a good
amount.
Yeah,
it's 28 pages.
It's, like, digestible enough for the kids.
It has to be a denominator of four.
But, it's a story that even adults will like also. It's not just for kids because it has a little subtext to it that everybody can kind of take from.
See, I think like when you're telling me about the story, when we're making the video, like that's what I felt like. I was like, cool, this is something that I feel like not just kids, but adults, you know, you can learn from this. This is like a commentary that you can take away from, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
You can have that. Cause I can, like when I was looking at it, I was like, even like the artwork itself, which I was like, wow, this is like very welcoming. How would you describe the artwork that's going
to
be in the book?
Well, I specifically wanted to make it geared towards, a younger audience, you know, something kind of, like you said, welcoming,
yeah,
kind of mainstream, a pop kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
And I basically did the character designs and the thumbnails and the page layouts.
There's a lot of smiles. I saw people smiling. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of smiles, but there's some sad parts too. Like when the baby's abandoned, he's not so happy.
But that's what makes when you have everyone smiling and you see that one person's sad, that's why that's sad. This is more impactful. Yeah. I think that's very cool. Like I feel like, you know, Is this a book really you can just give to anybody?
I think so. Yeah, I think anybody.
This is in English, right? It's gonna be English.
Yeah, there's plenty of Persian versions. So I thought, you know, make the English version of it now. You know.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe do Spanish one day or Portuguese one day and Chinese, Cantonese, Mandarin.
Would those translations be easy? Because the way you're writing, are you gearing that towards that?
I am. I'm making it kind of straightforward and to the point. And I think anybody from anywhere can appreciate this story, really. Especially if you love world mythology, which I do, I think people will definitely love this book, I feel like.
Well, let's find out about this Kickstarter. What can people, I mean, what are the, what is it called? The points. What's the point now? I'm forgetting. What is it, Carolyn?
The rewards.
The rewards.
Well, yeah.
The points.
The point system. That's when people invest in movies, the point system.
Well, it's really cool. You're trying a different tactic. I remember, like, you know, I guess kind of discussing with you before you launched, you were like, I'm gonna try like actually having the first level be just the book.
Yeah, I noticed that most people on Kickstarter just wanted to get just the product itself.
Yeah.
Some people don't care about the little frills here and there, you know. So I thought maybe just make the first reward just the book itself, mm-hmm. you know. Whether it's gonna work or not, who knows? Who's to say? But
it's an interesting tactic, though. It's like just go for the book, and there's no like, you know, like I had like on mine, I had like buttons and, you know, cool. Like, I'm not saying that, you obviously thought it through and like chose not to do that, but I wanted to do that.
I did some research on Kickstarter. I looked at some of the more successful campaigns and see how they approached it and kind of saw what rewards were more popular and what weren't so popular. Yeah. So,
I mean, you're right. Like the book level, like for mine, I mean, I'm just judging it off of my experience, which is I've only done one Kickstarter, but like that was like by far the largest amount that people wanted. Like people wanted the book. So I think that's like really cool that you're like, I'm not going to do anything else. And just,
well, you get other stuff too though.
Like, Yeah. But like at that initial first level, it's like that minimal like pledge is like, you get the book.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting tactic though.
We'll see if it works. Hopefully it will.
You know, another.
So what are the other pledges? Yeah. I want to know about the other pledges.
Well, I heard there's gonna, because you mentioned in the video like the kids work like the work booklet or something like that.
I'm kind
of for some reason I was really intrigued. What can be in this booklet?
What is this?
There's an educational booklet. So if there's like a teacher out there or a library out there, some sort of who wants to use this as an educational tool towards younger readers, that they can get a little background on what the Shahnameh is and who Ferdowsi was.
But is it like a coloring book? Is it people can write
in
it?
That's the kids' activity book. Yeah. There's the educational packet.
Okay. I'm talking about the kids' activity
book. And then there's a kids' activity packet.
All right, tell me about the educational one. Tell me about the kids' one.
Well, the educational one, it's like, you know, if somebody wants to use it as a learning tool, I'll have little parts in there that kind of gives them a little brief history on what the Shahnameh is and what a little bit about Persian culture. And
and this will be something that you produce as well, too.
Yes, yeah. This will be all, and this is at no additional cost for the Kickstarter. So any reward that you get, you can get this, download this at no additional cost. And the other thing is a little bit more fun. It's for the kids. It's a kids' activity kit.
But can the adults do
why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? You know why what? Actually, what's really popular right now is adult coloring.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So, like, is that how it is?
Yeah, so if you want to color the Seymour in the kids' activity packet and use your own imagination, use your own color scheme, that's totally cool. And I think it can be very therapeutic for adults to color and take part in this. It'll be like crossword puzzles, and basically I want to engage the kids' imagination and creativity also as well, which I think is really important for youngsters.
I think, like, you know, that'd be an interesting thing to see if, like, which one gets, like, more popular. Is like whether the kids' activity book, or people just be grabbing the kids' activity books, look, you can color in this one. I don't know what are you visually making different. Like, can you color in the adult?
The educational thing is just kind of a guide for teachers, okay, and libraries and stuff. To, like, kind of, you know, if you want to use this as a teaching tool,
so like a,
you
like
can have these little points. Yeah. Okay. What are the morals of the story? What are the lessons we learn from the story? Or, like, you know, what's a little background on Ferdowsi, the guy who wrote the original Shahnameh? Or, you know, what about geographically speaking? Because talk about what Greater Iran is. Because you think of Iran, it's not just the country Iran today,
yeah,
but it's the entire kind of Central Asia. It includes Tajikistan, includes the Kurdistan, Azerbaijan. These are all part of Greater Iran, which is culturally goes back thousands of years, but thanks to modern Western imperialism, it kind of got divided up. So
so how deep was your research in this?
Oh, man,
because I remember you had photo references, yeah, you had these things. How much
this has been years and years of research. I actually went back to the motherland three times to do field research
for the book itself
to research the Shahnameh. I even went to Mount Damavan, which is where apparently the baby was placed.
Was that the photo in the video, the mountain
in the background? Cool. And actually, and if you want, you can have some actual earth from Damavan itself as one of the rewards packages.
Really?
So if you're really hardcore and you love the Shahnameh and you love the story, you can actually have some actual earth from the mountain itself that Zal, the baby was actually placed.
So does that mean that you collected that?
I collected
this. How much do you have then?
I actually got two water bottles full worth of
wow.
Of
how'd you bring earth that home then?
I just closed it up and sealed it up and brought it back, you know.
That's interesting that you do that, because I did hear a couple stories about how, like, there's some places that don't have snow, obviously, and apparently there's some guy online that I forget where he lives, but he collected the snow and he will send you snow. It won't last very long, but apparently he keeps it all refrigerated and stuff, and then you can get the snow sent to, like, Jamaica or wherever. And then, like, and apparently people are doing that, and also with, like, beach sand and, like, beach water, yeah, people are doing that too. They're like, you want some beach water? Like, it's like kind of funky, but whatever.
But it's also, you know, some people are unable to go back to Iran, you know, for various reasons.
I
and
understand.
If they want to kind of connect with their roots and the motherland, they can have a little piece of Damavan. Because Damavan's a huge mountain. It's huge. Because you go there, the Alborz mountain range, there's lots of big mountains. I remember we were driving on the way because I wanted to go there. We were driving through the Alborz mountains, and I saw this really big mountain. I'm like, oh, that's got to be Damavan. That's huge.
Yeah.
And we all got out of the car, and we all took pictures with it.
And they're like, this is a nothing mountain.
We drove a little bit further, and we saw the actual Damavan, and this mountain is huge compared to the one I thought was Damavan, which was already big.
Man.
So it's a really amazing mountain. It's really beautiful.
So did you climb it?
No, I didn't have time to climb it. Next time I go.
Do people climb it, though?
Yeah,
they go all the way to the top?
Yeah, they go to the summit at the top, yeah.
So it was was all about, if you had time, you would ran up there right now.
Next trip to Iran, I will definitely go up
the mountain. Do you know, like, the stats on, like, how long it takes, how many miles it is and all that?
Yeah, the gentleman told me the stats as to how long it takes, and he told me some guy, like, did, like, a record time up there, but I'm not very good with my memory.
Is that an overnight thing?
To go up the mountain?
Yeah.
I don't recall, but it's a pretty big mountain, so I don't know exactly.
Like, would you have to train?
I don't think you have to train. No, you have to train.
You just go up there.
I'm sure you can go up there without training, but I'm sure you have to have
some
proper
type of, like, altitude thing, though. Yeah. I've heard about, like, Machu Picchu or something. I can't even pronounce anything.
In Peru.
Yes. Yeah. Don't you have to like train to go up to the altitude and stuff?
I don't know.
I really don't know.
I mean, I've been like the...
I'm an American who has never left America.
But we got mountains here. We got the Rockies here. We got the Appalachians here. That's you can go to the Mile High City, but you know, Colorado. That's a...
I always feel like another I can't city. Pronounce there's anything another city like underneath America.
You know, there's another city underneath Colorado. underneath
Secret
Denver.
City.
Secret city. That's what Brian Kendrick said.
Right on.
whatever Brian
Kendrick
said.
That surprise me.
Brian
Kendrick said that. He's a big conspiracy guy or whatever.
Well,
that is.
You know what? There's some truth to some conspiracies, but we're not going to talk about conspiracies this episode, are we?
No. I don't know.
Not unless you want to get into it.
Maybe let's say that for another episode. We can talk about the moon. We can talk about lots of different things. But
so, should we break down the rewards for your Kickstarter?
Well, we can talk about briefly some rewards. Okay. I mean, you can get the book.
What's the most expensive? What's the most? That's what
the most expensive is my appearance. You get the grace in my presence.
Oh my god! Are we getting like a $2,000 reward right now?
We got a deal right now.
But like some of the other cool stuff is I don't know if you guys know who Genzo Man is, but he's like one of the, in my opinion, the top mythology artist in my opinion in the world today.
From the work I've seen, I'm a fan already.
Yeah, he's awesome, dudes. He's awesome. If you guys don't know who Genzo Man is listening, Google Genzo Man, G-N-Z-O-M-A-N. And he, in my opinion, he's the top mythology artist. And I got him to do a print for me, and he's depicting basically the top hero, basically the legendary hero of the Shoneman, Rostam. And he did this amazing rendition of it. And my boy, Marvel Comics artist, Andre Arujo, is doing Kaveh Ohangad and the Dare of Shekhovian, which is like the Iranian standard of freedom. And this other artists who did Mr. Majid Tiwi Shirin, it's a comic book that's coming out. She did a Prince Siavash's Trail of Fire. Now, these are all popular images from the Shoneman, so a lot of you probably don't know what that is, but
now they do.
But now you're gonna know, because there are these iconic images that come from the Shoneman, and I had these artists draw these iconic characters and images as part of the rewards for limited edition prints. And all three of these artists are amazing, and you'll like them.
What's really cool is like the stuff that I've seen, the work that I've seen, it's unique. They're all like unique pieces that I feel like you can't even see this style of work when you just, if you're flipping through a comic book.
Or yeah, I kind of wanted to do like, you know, not kind of keep it the same. I wanted to keep it kind of small at the same time, but kind of do wide different styles for these limited edition prints that you can get.
So they're getting the prints. They're not getting the original work.
Not the original work. These are prints.
That,
yeah.
Because I was going to say.
Well, Genzo Man's a digital artist. Yeah, Genzo Man does it all digitally. Yeah.
So then, that's always tough. That's always crazy. It's like when this digital world, it's what is the original? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't do the original digital world.
It's unless you just get like the PDF or whatever file that worked. But even that, you can just copy it.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me sad about the digital world, though. I do miss like. There's something about actually having the real piece of paper.
Yeah, but Control-Z.
I know, and also it's like faster, so. Yeah, I mean, I'm transitioning into a digital, so more and more
so. But like, with comic artists, you know, especially those that do the Comic-Con circuit, having an original sell, you know, it adds to your income, you know.
Yeah.
If you're like a digital inker, you can't sell those inks at the con, you know?
But you know what? A lot of people...
Well, inkers sell their originals at cons, but... Do they? You know,
I haven't run into a lot of inkers.
Yeah,
dude, what's interesting enough,
it.
My best friends in the comic book industry are inkers, interestingly enough. Like I had the best bonds with inkers.
But I feel like a lot of people actually, like, I'm not saying they don't care about original art, but I think a lot of the younger people, they want something up on their dorm room or whatever, and they're okay with having a print.
Yeah, I'm cool with a print myself, you know. An original is cool, but a lot of people can't afford an original.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
If you want something more affordable, you go with a print, and it's just as cool looking.
But what's the benefit, really, of having the original, unless you can...
Because you have, like, the original. Yeah, you can be like, I have the...
Can you imagine having an original Jack Kirby or an original...
Like, I have that Elizabeth... I know, like... people might not know, but like I have like original Charm School page from Elizabeth Watterson, which like is one of my favorite books. Like I don't know how, like, it's not like to the point of like Superman or something.
I want a Van Gogh, so if you guys see original Van Goghs hanging around, hook me
we
up.
Can
oh,
steal
I see
some from
I've seen plenty
museum.
Of Van Goghs hanging around. I don't even know how you go about, like, if you see something at a museum.
I think an original Van Gogh recently went on sale on an auction. I think
they're on, like,
auctions.
The Christie's.
Yeah. Yeah, super auctions and stuff.
Because they're not just, like, hanging them up there on the museums. They're like, okay, and they have a price tag.
Yeah,
anything.
No.
They're part of, like, people's collections, right?
Yeah, a lot of them are donated from private collections and such.
That's always crazy when you go to those places. Like, someone does own these.
Yeah.
You know, they're just being lent.
But what I'm saying is that, like, we do have, like, some original art, and it does feel cool to be like, this is that page. yeah. up on, like, you know, you frame it, put it up on the wall and be like, this is it. This is the page.
So
you know,
is that what's missing when it comes to, like, the digital world? You miss those, like, oh, look, I can see where he erased, or, you know what I mean? Or something like that. Is that what,
I mean, I don't really look at, like, oh, there's the erase mark, or like, oh, they whited out this part, you know, like they sometimes have that, but it's, but also at the same time, like, comics art is the most affordable art for collections that I've seen. Like, fine art is a lot more expensive.
I've been trying to find a Shel Silverstein original art for the longest time now.
Have you been, like, hunting it out, like, I have
been
stuff?
Yeah, I've been looking at, like, art auctions and whatnot.
And then you see, like, the price and you're like, oh, come on, dude.
Well, it's almost impossible to find. I don't even see some for see any available, but that's all good. Maybe I'll cross paths with one day.
But see, I feel like that journey is what makes it amazing.
I don't think,
like,
I'll be really afforded also if I ever find it. We'll see what happens.
Who knows? Maybe you would be able to when the time comes. Or maybe it'll just, like, you'll find it, like, at the right moment.
Right.
Like, I remember, like, you know, like, that Paul Pope that I have up in the editing bay. Like, that was a tough find. Like, any Paul Pope for me is a tough find.
But that's a print, though, right?
But, like, you know what I like about that print, though? Like, what I was talking about, like, with the mistakes, he went out of his way to screen print it to make it feel like it was the original.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you do that.
And also, it's limited, right? Isn't there only 350 or something like that? I don't remember the exact.
Yeah.
But that's cool, though, when people do, like, the I don't know what it's called, the countdown.
Yeah, limited print run.
Yeah, print run. So that's, like, that's makes it special if it's very limited like that. But yeah, that's, I mean, prints are, like, the hottest thing now, I feel like, at the convention circuit.
Yeah,
like,
a
lot of people don't even buy the books. They'll buy the prints.
Yeah.
But that's what's cool about, like, with your Kickstarter. You get these awesome prints.
Right.
You know, how many prints do they get? Do you know how many yet?
Well, I set it up. If you want just one particular print, you can get the book with one particular print. Or if you want to get all three prints, you can do that. So the rewards are kind of spread out depending on what your fancy is. And
is this going to be a pretty, what's the dimensions of this book? Is it pretty
8x10.
8x10?
8x10, yeah. It's kind of going to, like, the standard.
Did you decide, is it going to be hardcover or what?
Well,
or
you know.
Or do they get to choose which one?
Well, hopefully, with the success of the Kickstarter, we'll go hardcover. Yeah. Cool. I'd like to do hardcover.
Go all in or go out, right?
Yeah, ideally, yeah.
And then after the hardcover, then you have, like, the second run of softcover.
Cross one bridge at a time. Cross one bridge at a time.
I like the look of it, man. There's a lot of good drama in the artwork.
Yeah, definitely
there.
You guys should check it out. I mean,
how can people find it?
I say the best way to do, well, hopefully if they're checking out the podcast, you'll have a link.
Yes. We're going
to
have the video, the link.
Yeah, you have a link on there.
Yeah.
But Shahnameh for Kids, Shahnameh for Kids.com. And Shahnameh basically literally translates to Book of Kings or King of Books, depending on how you interpret it.
Ooh, I like King of Books.
Yeah, so it is the King of Books. As far as Persian texts go, it's the King of Books, in my opinion. And, like,
that's a good name, the King of Books.
King of Books, man. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So it's an amazing work of art as far as the original Shahnameh goes. And I'm trying to do my part in kind of having it continue because, you know, culture is important, in my opinion, you know. And,
it is.
And do people in your culture, like, really know about this book? Is it, like, very prominent?
It's very prominent. But
you know about it.
It's very prominent, but at the same time, it is being erased in its own way. Especially with, you know, people come here and they forget about their culture. And people over there are forgetting about their culture as well. So I feel like it's my duty to kind of make sure that the culture stays. And it's important. I think culture is important, not just Iranian culture, but anybody's culture for that fact, you know.
It's like erasing knowledge.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it really is. And, you know, I feel like culture is, like, not just, I think every culture in the world, it's kind of like a spice or a flavor.
Yeah.
This big, beautiful experience we have called Earth, you know. And every culture has something beautiful to offer and something really positive to give. And you can take things from each one of them and learn from them. And there was a while that I really didn't care about my culture at all. I really didn't. I actually shied away from it. You look at the news and stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's kind of shameful. But and I kind of shied away from my culture myself. But I lived in Southern California for a while. And not to talk smack about this area, but there really isn't that much culture in the D.C. area.
Well, the culture is just not very cultured.
Yeah, exactly.
The culture is not a culture.
Go out of your way.
You have to go your way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I lived in California for a while, Southern California. And for those of you that don't know, Southern California was part of Mexico for a while. And I mean,
when you look at it, it's still connected.
It's called Los Angeles, you know, San Diego. These are Spanish words.
I wonder, people always forget that.
I used to call La Jolla La Jolla for a while.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Because that's how it looks. You know what I mean?
But being in Southern California, I was exposed to Mexican culture. And I was like, wow, this is really beautiful and colorful. And I developed an appreciation for what Mexican culture was. And that in turn kind of reopened the door to realizing how beautiful Persian culture is. And I kind of got tapped back into what Iranian culture was, because there is a true Iranian culture there, but it's kind of been erased in a way. As sad as it is to say that, it's kind of become wiped away. But so
what caused that to for you to look at the... It's like looking at someone else's culture opened you up to be like, maybe I should look back at mine, or was there something in the Mexican culture that was like, this reminds me of...
It didn't necessarily remind me of, but it kind of made me appreciate what culture was, you know? It made me appreciate how beautiful and flavorful culture itself is.
Because it's sort of like, you're like, wow, you're like, why am I looking at this? Not saying disregarding like Mexican culture, but you're like, wow, but I had this whole culture that I had ignored before too. You
exactly.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. And exactly.
It's like, let me thirst on the knowledge of mine.
Yeah, and kind
of
do some more research and do some, because the schools don't teach you about that, obviously. And you have to kind of do some homework to find out what it was. And through homework, I learned some more about my history. I learned some more about my traditions. And like, there's this one festival that was always held called Tirgan. It's basically the Iranian summer festival. And because of the conquerors who conquered us, they basically wiped out all our holidays and all our traditions were being wiped out, and Tirgan was basically becoming forgotten as a holiday. It was pretty much all but forgotten. When I went to Iran, nobody knew what Tirgan was at all. Nobody did.
And that's crazy to think.
In the original motherland.
That's crazy to think, you know, just even like imagining that now. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, now you know what you were doing 10 years ago? We don't do that now.
Yeah. But now Tirgan's coming back. There's actually going to be a Tirgan festival this summer on June 14th.
That's cool.
Which I will be at if you want to come and say hi, and you can actually see artwork to the book. At the festival.
Do you have a table set up?
I will have a table there, yeah. So you can come check out the book at the Tirgan Festival or at AwesomeCon too. I'll be at AwesomeCon too.
Awesome.
That's right.
Yeah, so you can come check out the book at AwesomeCon.
Don't you
have panels?
You have panels at AwesomeCon.
I will have a workshop on coloring comics. So if you want to learn how to color comics or how comics are colored digitally using Adobe Photoshop, come check out my workshop on that. It's on Sunday, May 31st at 11:45, and I'll be doing a step-by-step instruction, kind of letting you know how comics are colored.
Cool.
And I think a lot of people need to know that, like, because sometimes people don't really, you know.
It's a lot easier than you think. Well, not necessarily the skill, but actually.
Yeah, you just snap your fingers.
Yeah,
it's not that, well, not that easy, but you know.
But like the process.
Press the color button.
People don't know the process, though, and and you're a good teacher for that because you teach, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, we'll show you the process on how comics are colored. It'll be cool. You'll
yeah.
dig it.
And what's also cool is, like, I remember like one year, like you showed like a clip of, I think you filmed it or you recorded it where it's like, yo, you did the Stone
Cold. Stone
Cold, yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. I try to get the crowd kind of a little, like, hyped and pumped for the workshop. You
yeah,
know?
I was like, these people are ready to learn, man. Are you ready to learn?
You know, like I said, man, you got to go all out. Either, what's the cliche?
So
go big or go home.
Go big or go home, man.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
All in or all out.
Yeah.
100%. I think, like, I've always wondered, you know, like, after that, like, if they're so excited. I bet they are, man. I bet they're, like, really, really pumped for that. How does that process usually go? You just have a page and you show them your
color?
Well,
yeah, I show them a page. I show them the black and white art, which is what the colorist gets. And I show them how you do the layers, and then you create another layer and how the colors are applied. And I show little tricks and techniques, because there isn't just one way to do things. The beautiful thing about art, there isn't just one path to it. And especially with Photoshop, there isn't just one way to do something.
There's like 10 ways to do something in Photoshop.
And it's cool when I see another artist do the same thing I did, but in a totally different way than I got to it. You know?
Yeah.
But it's been Photoshop, so it's always cool. So I just showed them kind of my techniques and how I color comics, which is pretty standard, nothing too crazy. So if you're interested in learning how comics are colored, maybe you have a web comic you're working on, or you're trying to develop your characters and you want to put it to the next level and make it color, come check it out.
Color is really important.
I think it is,
because the color on your, it's the from what I've seen with artwork in their book too, the color is amazing on that. It's every bit of it is a storytelling device to me, as like
you
a creator.
create a complete mood for it, you know? And you elicit a feeling from the reader or the viewer. As a filmmaker, you know how important color is. You totally elicit a feeling for the person who's observing the art form by your color choices and what your values are and how dark something is, how light something is, where your highlights are and where your shadows are. So,
and people can see you. They can. You're going to have info on your Kickstarter as well. Awesome Con, right?
Yeah, you can come to Awesome Con, check it out. I'll have the book there. I'll have some of my comics there.
Are you going to have your alien dude? Is he going to be there?
Oh, maybe I'll bring those guys. No. Maybe I'll bring those guys. Yeah, those
they
guys,
might be making an
that's
appearance.
That's like my greatest hits for some reason. That's my consistent, like, you know, that's my free bird is those little guys.
Were you thinking not to have them?
No, I wasn't thinking not to have them, but man. I'm so focused on the book for Shaun of the for Kids
yeah.
that, you know, I haven't really focused on that so much as
I always feel like that's going to be like your, like it's like your you'll throw that character in somewhere. You know what I mean? You hide them somewhere.
I wanted to make that a children's book years ago, but maybe after this. We'll do that.
So many ideas. That's what's hard. It's like I feel like I have enough ideas. You probably feel the same way, that I have like 10 years worth of material.
You know what I liken it to? I liken it to, you ever see those guys, like the shows where they spin plates?
Yeah.
And you're splitting a plate, and then you go over to another plate, you spin it around, and the other plate starts wobbling over, you got to run over back and make sure the other plate's spinning around.
Yeah.
That's how I've been for a long time now. I feel like I'm spinning plates, but now...
You got to concentrate on
this one plate here. I let those other plates fall for a little bit and focus on this one plate.
That's the thing about Kickstarter. It's like you really have to devote that full month, like, to Kickstarter. It's like you can't like,
well, I got deadlines too. I got books to color.
Well, yeah,
so
I mean,
don't tell that to my editors.
I mean, I still I definitely like still had a job to go to and everything, but I'm not saying that you let go of the rest of your life, but you do have to devote that time for, you know, you can't just like let it.
And what's interesting
go.
About this, you gotta shamelessly plug yourself, which has never been my style. I always felt like I just let my artwork and my work speak for itself. If you like it, cool. If you don't like it, not my problem.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I gotta shamelessly plug myself for this stuff, which
is
something I'm not used
machine.
To.
But maybe it's not shamelessly plugging. Maybe it's trying to find the audience.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what it is. Like, people won't know unless you tell
right.
them sometimes. You don't get what you don't ask for a
that's
lot of
right.
times. Speaking
and
of that.
That's why you're on the podcast.
Speaking of that, let's recap. Where can people find you, and where can they find
the
Kickstarter?
Has an hour gone by?
Yes.
Yes.
Holy moly.
We're wrapping it up.
All right. Well, you can go to my website, arsiarozegar.com. I'll have a link to the Kickstarter there. I'll have a link to AwesomeCon info. My table's at E2. And you can go to seanimanforkids.com and check it out there also. But you'll have all the information on the podcast.
Yeah.
So just go to carolynjoeshow.com. You'll see all my info there.
Sweet.
Easy enough. Just click. You're there.
Click. You're there. What about
awesome.
Instagram, all that stuff, too? How can
you
find
just my name. My Twitter handle's my name, my website, Instagram. You can find me on Facebook if you want. I'll friend you. We're cool.
Not like me. I'm really paranoid
just
about that.
Tell Arcia that you listen to the Carolyn and Joe show and you want to be his friend.
Please. Yes.
At least then that like gives you some type of introduction, so you're not just like some creepo.
Some random dude. That's cool, though.
Even if you want to be a creepo.
Creeps are cool.
Then go,
I'm a
go
weirdo.
Creep out, man. Yes.
I don't belong here.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's always a pleasure.
So this show is brought to you by Astray Productions. Check them out at astrayproductions.com. Also, check out my work at joecarabello.com, goastray.tumblr.com, one-shots.com, and soundcloud.com/Mr./Bandit. It's a lot of stuff we got to roll in there. What do you got, Carolyn?
All right, well, I have a comic strip called Curls. You can check it out at curls-studio.com/curls. I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that jazz. I guess you can Google my name and find me. Also, carolynbilewski.com. Check it out, and we'll see you at AwesomeCon, which is our next convention coming up at the end of May. And you can also check out the blog to see our full list of panels, which is exhausting because pretty much we're doing, what is it, 9 panels? So that's basically
nine
hours worth of material. That's like a whole, that's over a day.
So say hi to us if you can find us. You'll find us. We'll be there.
And we're also in the main hall at, what was it, row H, 12 or 13-ish, somewhere around
look
there.
Look for the blue circle.
You'll find us.
Look for the blue
we're
circle.
We're like in the center of the action if you look at the map. So basically you can check everything out at curls-studio.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thanks, RC.
Thank you.
See you later, everybody. Be excellent to each other. Good night.
Excellent.